Good afternoon, good evening. It is Monday, which means it is your faith-fueled wake-up call with Ed the Theologian.
Yeah.
And before we start, if you watch news, my area made national news for a wildfire yesterday. It was far enough away. They got it out this morning. Over 1,000 acres were burned.
Wow.
Only one house was destroyed in the damage, but a lot of it was fields and things like that, so it was okay.
What do they think caused it?
They're not sure yet. But, you know, it's right off the freeway where it started. So more than likely, it's either, you know, a rock. Because we normally get like 67, 70 inches of snow every year.
Mm-hmm.
We got 5.
Wow.
And so a lot of fields are being plowed out here. So it could have been something as simple and dumb as, you know, plowing out your field. You hit a rock, you get a spark.
Yeah.
Or it could be someone throwing a cigarette out, you know, off the freeway.
Yeah, that's always a possibility, isn't it?
But, you know, human nature, humans are idiots.
Yeah. And we thought the Neanderthals were idiots.
Okay, so where I live is literally 4 houses from our fire department. You literally, the road in between, by my house is where the fire department goes out. And a guy, so we live in a small town, so the whole fire department goes somewhere. It's not where there's someone left behind other than the man the phone. So as this fire is burning in the neighboring town, our town is filled with smoke. Y'all know what's going on. This guy behind my house decides to light his tree stumps on fire, and we're battling 40-mile-an-hour winds.
What was he thinking?
He's an idiot.
some people would tell you.
Well, and it's funny because our town that I live in has burned to the ground twice already.
Well, that's not good.
And our town is a couple hundred years old. It's one of the oldest towns in the southwestern Minnesota. And it's already burned down twice. So a lot of us are a little more paranoid when it comes to fires, hearing the stories. It's like the Chicago fire.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing with fire at 40-mile-an-hour winds, no rain, nothing, you know, yeah. Like I said, civilian people are idiots.
No, I tell you. Well, I just don't think.
That's the problem.
That is the problem.
They think with the wrong parts of their body.
I'll go along with that.
So I always make a joke to my husband when he's sitting down and he's trying to think of something. I'm like, stand up. You're cutting off circulation to your brain.
Yeah. That's why I always tell people I'm friends with that the proctologist called said they couldn't find any brains.
Yeah, that's my go-to line is get your head out of your ass.
Yeah.
And that's the nicest thing I can say to you at the time.
Usually if somebody does something stupid, I say, you want a pair of night vision goggles? Crazy. how was your week?
Good. For the most part, I got sick, ended up in the hospital for an evening, and...
What'd you get sick
on
from?
The rebound. I have anemia issues. I have anemia issues. So when certain times of the month, sometimes, if I don't catch it early, my iron levels drop drastically low.
Ooh.
Times where I can't control it, so I have to go in and get IVs of iron to reset my body.
I'm surprised they just don't put you on iron.
They do, but sometimes it doesn't work. I take 3 times the normal amount of iron to maintain my iron levels.
Hmm.
I had some reaction when I got hurt in the military. It ended up with a blood transfusion. And ever since then, I don't know if they gave me the wrong blood or what, but ever since then, I've had this issue. I never had it growing up. I didn't have it the first part of the military. Well, you know, you can't be in the military if you've got issues. Physical issues. You can get in with psychological issues. You just can't get in with physical issues.
Right. Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. To a point.
Which brings us to the topic of today, being a soldier of God and being a soldier in the God in the military. You know, I sat and thought about it when you sent me that text. Boot camp teaches you to be a soldier of God without it being in your face. You don't realize it's so subtle when you're doing it. But literally every thing that you're taught in boot camp follows into the Ten Commandments, follows into how God works. I mean, like, starting out with your soldier's creed, every branch has one.
Yep.
Your ethos.
And then you have the general orders.
And you have the general orders. And each one explains how to live your life on the field, off the field. Because a lot of people don't realize that they think that what you do in the military is only while you're on duty. It's what you do off duty, too. You do something dumb, that's a court-martial offense.
You're a representative. Whenever I was in, I didn't get that. I wouldn't. That didn't hit my teenage mind at the time.
Well, you were in during Vietnam, right?
Huh?
Well, you were in during Vietnam, right?
Yeah.
So it was a little more lax compared to what it is now.
Yes and no.
Is getting a sunburn a court-martial offense?
Yes, it was a broken arm.
Yeah. I mean, now it's especially more girls and guys were restricted on what we even wear off base, where we wear on base. You know, you can't have holes in your pants. Girls have to be covered. By that, you can wear a tank top as long as pieces of your body are staying covered. You can't go around looking like a slut. Simple as that.
Are you allowed to wear your uniform off base?
Yeah, depending on where you are.
We weren't.
If you're overseas and there are certain areas of certain, you're not. But now a lot of us live off base, so we have to wear them. If you're at home, you're allowed to. But, you know, when you look at, like, the core values, don't know as much about the other branches just because I was an Army person. But these are pushed and into your mind to where they were memorized. You didn't eat. Like, when you're in boot camp and you're in that chow hall, they'd ask you questions. You didn't answer them right. You had to go to the back of the line.
Yep.
Hope to God you got to eat. But, like, the Army core values are loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. You know, our ethos is, I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. And I'll never leave a fallen comrade. That whole thing is exactly what we talk about in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the only books you can read in boot camp is the Bible, or your version of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the only activities you get to do while in boot camp is go to church.
Go to church, right. Don't go to church. On Sundays, you usually had a white tornado to clean up.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you sit and you put it back to back, you maintain your faith. You know, sometimes that's hard. But when you look at it, you know, faith is a belief in something. Like we were talking about last week, there are no true actual atheists because everybody believes in something.
Right. Is it hard to be a Christian warrior?
The hardest, it's not in the sense that it's ingrained in everything we do. The hard part is when, once we're done with boot camp, we go to combat. And bad things happen. Or even in the military, you know, just in general, when bad things happen, that is where it becomes hard. And that's where we question everything we know. Because, you know, in the people have this misconception about, you know, faith and the Bible and that, you know, and God about how when bad things happen, God's punishing us.
Mm-hmm. That's not the case.
And that,
right?
You know, and it's not. It's really not. You know, we talked about this on Bible study last Monday night. And how, you know, trying to find the right psalm that we talked about. It's more about the fact that it's how we respond to things. Here we go.
Yep.
Perfect example. Psalm 34, verses 17 through 18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know, people read that and they, you know, and I know me and James were talking about this too. And a lot of people have this misconception. They believe because they didn't believe hard enough. They didn't pray hard enough that that's what, why things happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
there's nothing in the Bible that ever says your life is going to be good. Good things happen in the Bible, but more bad things happen in the Bible than good, honestly speaking.
Yeah.
I look at the Bible as more of a perseverance and a tragedy of survival, in the sense that you look at all these bad things that have happened to all these good people, and they persevered, and most of them survived. But the ones that didn't survive for a reason, that they were basically martyrs. And when you break this psalm down, you start to understand it a little bit more when you look into the deeper meanings of it. You know, the righteous cry out. This refers to who is living in accordance with God's will and seeking to do what is right. It reminds us that even those who are faithful and righteous may still experience suffering and hardship. It's just that simple. You know, and that's where, you know, a lot of us in the military and in life, we start to question that. Because we have this delusion that God is all great and powerful and he can fix everything. And my whole viewpoint is that God also gave us free will. We are not robots that are just pawns in a scheme of entertainment for somebody. We are there and we're taught right and wrong. We're taught how to screw up and not screw up. And we're there to help ourselves. You know, you look at God like a parent, a good parent that actually, you know, lets you make mistakes and lets you figure them out, and not one of those helicopter parents who fixes everything for you, because you never learn.
That's why we call him Father.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't... don't get the concept of hardship or bad things happening. Whenever Paul wrote his letter to 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:3, he says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." I mean, Paul was beaten too many churches now, and whenever I say churches, I'm talking about
the buildings.
There's no teaching on what Paul said to Timothy in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "No soldier in active service entangles himself affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." So whenever you were in the Army and I was in the Air Force, didn't you want to please your commander?
Yeah, sort of. You wanted to stay anonymous.
Yeah,
you didn't want to be the one that screwed up so that you were the one in trouble.
Right. I don't want to be the one to mess up, but I do want to be the one that helps get the unit an award or recognition or something.
Right.
And I like that saying. It says, so that he may please the one who enlisted him. In 71, whenever I went in the Air Force, I enlisted. I volunteered. I wasn't drafted. I wanted to go.
When you look at it, enlisting in the military is a calling. It's like becoming a clergy. It's not something successfully and actually go through and do it correctly and, you know, survive. It's a calling. It's not something that you usually do on a whim.
As long as you understand that. I didn't understand that whenever I went in. That's why I only stayed 4 years. I didn't understand the term be a servant. Servant of your country, servant of your family, servant of your friends. What it meant to be a servant. Because everyone has a treasure within them that I am to guard, including myself. What's the number one general order? The first general order. I will guard everything within the limits of my post and quit my post only when properly relieved. I will quit my post here on earth the day I leave it.
You know, the sad part is I believe it's general order number 2 or 3. I will not abandon my post until it's relieved by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our soldiers now don't understand and believe in that.
Right.
You know, that's how my great uncle died in World War II. When he got shot out in the field, there was no one to recover him, but there was also no one to help him. And because he didn't turn and run, he believed wholeheartedly in the general orders and his mission and what he was doing. He ended up dying on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And when you tell this story to, you know, privates now, they're like, oh, God, he was dumb. He should have just left. And I just stand there and I stare at them because it's like it blows my mind that these guys don't have that concept down and understand and actually believe what you're doing.
Right. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity to run away, but of power, love, and here's the D word everybody hates, discipline.
What's that?
Yeah, what is that? We are to discipline our minds. So how do you do that?
No, and that is something that the generations now really lack, honestly, is that discipline.
I agree, 100%, yep.
You know, they're so used to instant gratification, and they're so, and I truly believe and blame a lot on the parenting. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so self-centered, so wrapped into our own world that we don't teach our kids anymore.
And we allow them to become whiners.
Whiners and disrespectful. When has it ever been okay for kids to tell off your parents in public?
Yeah, it wasn't for me. I know that. No. I'd have gotten my rear end beat.
I've got a little bit of grief because my daughter will once in a while. But it's funny because when she'll get so frustrated, so overwhelmed, so mad that she will just run her mouth. And halfway into her running her mouth and her rant, she will start crying, and then she apologizes. And apologizes for the next 3 hours for telling me off. But kids, like I've seen this at Boy Scouts, where there's this little shithole kid, who little rich kid that, you know, has to one-up everybody for everything. Like, I bought my daughter a cotton candy machine at Walmart for $20 because she's 8 years old, and he literally went out and bought an industrial one for like $300 and bragged about it. And I looked at him like, seriously, you're trying to one-up another child that's younger than you? I don't care. And he literally tells his dad off. Like, we were at the parade for our town doings, and he's telling his dad where to go. And his dad just stands there and takes it. He's like, yeah, sometimes it feels like I got two or three wives because they're all yelling. I'm like, and I'm a little old school, and I'm a little, you know, old-fashioned in this sense, but I'm like, aren't you a man? How do you allow this? And you teach them right and wrong, and you stand up for that to them. I'm like, this is a 12-year-old little boy. I'm like, if my kid did this, my kid would be back their ass back home. They wouldn't be in the parade.
That's right.
The parade's the reward. You know, my kids throw a temper tantrum in the store. We leave the store, and they go sit in the car. And I pity what happens in 10 years, 12, 20 years when these kids are adults. It's like they have not learned basic respect. And it blows my mind because, you know, you see, I love being down in the South, you know, especially like the deep South, like South Carolina and things like that. You see these little boys and little girls holding the door open for people. You hear them say, yes, sir, no, sir. Welcome. Thank you. Please. They still teach the manners. We don't do that anywhere else.
Well, it's very few and far between.
Right. It's not part of our culture anymore.
No, it's not. I'll have to send you some of my thoughts on that. I don't have them written down, but just yet, but I will. I am, I've been, for years, I've been told, you know, you're not looking at it from the right perspective. I am looking at it from the right perspective. I am a warrior. We are warriors. We're spirit warriors.
Right.
So we have to train ourselves and become disciplined. Discipline the mind, the body will follow.
Mind, body, and soul.
Right.
And when one is out of whack, it's all out of whack.
Oh, you're not wrong there.
And that's the thing, is that we're not looking at that anymore. We are all looking, and this is where I believe the downfall came from, the lack of faith. the lack of belief, the lack of religion. You know, you used to go to church. And when you went to church, you had your coffee or your lunch, or unless you're, you know, an African-American black or a Baptist church, spend all day Sunday at church. I love their churches. Mm-hmm. These are fun. It's a community. Everybody brings potluck. You all sit and eat and hang out all day. Some of the Spanish churches are like that, too. But now it's like you squeeze in the door at the last minute before service starts, and you run out the minute service ends.
Yep.
So you can make the ball game. When did the ball game become so much more important than faith?
Well, 1800s. I don't know. I'm not sure.
But, you know, we don't, as a, we have so many, even churches, though, now, our clergies, you know, it's all about the mega churches, and it's about, you know, what you look like when you go to church, what brand you're wearing, and it's all about this gaslighting message of everything's going to be okay, you just have to faith, and you have to believe, and you have to pray. We're not talking about anymore about how you have to persevere and overcome. God's there in your, and I, you know, and the way I explain it, it's like when you're a toddler and you fall down. Your parents are there to pick you up, brush you off, and you fall down again, and you keep this as a pattern. God's the same way. You fall down, he's there to help pick you up. And you're going to keep falling down. Everybody makes mistakes. Bad things happen to everybody.
Yeah.
He never said he's going to do everything for you and paint you the yellow brick road. And you follow this yellow brick road, it's going to be all great. No offense, but if you lived in a world where everything was perfect, you'd live in Stepford Land.
Yeah.
And life would be pretty boring.
Yeah. I'll not argue that.
But we only look at certain parts of the Bible, and we look at, like, you know, the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah and things like that where we didn't follow hard enough. Okay, these people didn't follow anything. They did their own thing, and that's why they got punished. So we tend to believe that because we screwed up, God's punishing us because bad things happen.
No, we're just reaping what we sowed.
And sometimes bad things happen just for the fact that it just happens.
It just happens, right? 2 Timothy 5 says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. How many athletes have you heard of that have had their trophies and their titles stripped from them because they found out they cheated?
Mm-hmm. Neil Armstrong, or no, not Neil Armstrong, Lance Armstrong, perfect example.
Mm-hmm. I know. I wanted to ask you, is there a, I know there's a Facebook page. Is there some place where they can leave a comment
you go to Optimize My Life Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And you can leave comments. And speaking of which, let me go here. I need to add you. There we go. I cannot spell Revelies for some reason.
Revely. I think it's...
I know, I keep screwing it up.
R-E-V-E-I-L-L-E.
I forget the rule of I before E, except after C, for some reason.
I never got that either. I just memorized it.
So, for this show, we also have a separate chat set up for Revely in the Morning.
Nice. Okay.
And once I remember how to put you as head... There we go. So, you know, one, you can sit and post whatever you want in the Facebook group, but also there's a separate chat just for that.
Cool.
And post discussions, add tips, different topics, ideas for the shows. All the stuff.
That's good because I need all the help I can get to come up with ideas.
Well, what I've been doing, like for Bible study,
mm-hmm.
is either the night before or during that morning before. Is I have like a little prayer book or I have the Bible and I just, and whatever, and I just sit there and put my finger over it and then I land on it. And that's what I talk about.
Mm.
And 9 out of 10 times, what ends up coming to that page or that quote or that thing ends up fitting what you're going through at that time.
Wow. God knows what needs to be said, so he guides it.
And that's it. And so many people so focused on the delivery of the message, they forget about the message. Or they are so focused on saying the right things and being the right person and doing the right thing that they literally forget to just stop and follow your inner voices. Follow your faith.
Yeah, that's a lot of the problem with the churches. They don't stop. They have an agenda that they feel they need to make.
Yeah. And it's all about 90% of these churches now are all about the warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, they've been that way for quite some time.
I truly believe that is part of the reason for the mental health crisis we're in. Because we're being inundated through social media, through TV, through our churches, through our, you know, everything around us about how we have to be happy all the time.
No, we don't.
And good things always happen. And, you know, ignore the bad, ignore the bad, ignore the bad. and we live in this delusion where it's always bad, good things. And so when bad things happen, we don't know how to deal with it.
This thing about social media and television, the problem with that is we don't really get to interact with the people that are bringing the message. You know what I mean? I want to know what type of person it is that is bringing a message and what that message would mean to me, because so many people follow follow the wolves, and then whenever the wolves turn and devour them, they're sort of in shock. Like, what happened? Why'd they do that? Know what I mean?
Right.
If you're going to send money to somebody or listen to somebody, you better know who they are. Just because they're on TV or on social media doesn't make them a good example, I should say.
Exactly. And on, especially on social media, they only post the good things. You know, you'll see these people with, you know, the fancy cars and the happy smiles and the expensive jewelry and expensive clothes.
Hey.
Okay, and I guarantee you, you look like crap when you wake up in the morning. We all do.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
You know, especially when it comes to clergy, you want to look at community service. What is their mission? Now, that's the one thing that I love about my pastor, is she's got a mission to bring the church into the community, and she wants to do more community service. So we're looking at trying to set up some stuff with teens to do things in the community and coordinate with schools and stuff for community service hours. All about giving back, not taking.
Right.
You know, you look at, you know, and I used to be a follower of Joel Osteen. And, you know, I looked at, you know, yeah, he's got all these books. He's got this fancy house and his car. But you know what? He sells all these books and yada, yada, yada. But when shit hit the fan with Katrina and he shut his doors to his church, which used to be the stadium for the Dallas Cowboys, and it was written in the contract when he bought that church that was still supposed to be considered a emergency shelter, and he refused to open it up, that's when I'm done. Like, you practice, you preach about helping people, but yet when people need your help, you didn't help them. We got a problem.
Right. And what does that really show? I mean, whenever people look at, without knowing that, okay, yeah, whenever people look and they see the big studio and the big houses and big cars and stuff, what does that create?
Yeah, it does. Look at it as Napoleon syndrome. You know, a lot of people that, you know, they come in the money, they buy all this stuff to fix what's missing inside. know, you got to have the bigger the better to make yourself feel better because you're lacking your own self-esteem, your own self-worth.
Right.
You should be happy with who you are on the inside.
And what you have. That's why it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. We have a treasure within us. And we are to walk our post and guard it with everything we have. But it's so easy to get off the path and off the yellow brick road and off into the briars and the brambles of deception. I'm not hate to say this, but I'm not a theologian. I'm just one who's passionately curious.
Right.
Right. I will tell you in so many words where I stand, what I am, and everybody says, I was thinking about this. Everybody, I was in a restaurant yesterday, and I had a military shirt on. Somebody comes by and says, "Thank you for your service." And I go, "Well, okay, thanks." Ever since Desert Storm, everybody thinks everybody who is in the military is a hero. I'm not a hero. I don't look on myself as a hero. Heroes don't look on heroes as heroes, you know?
Most of us don't look at ourselves as heroes. And that, honestly, it's one of the most uncomfortable positions I hated being in was when I got thanked for doing something that...
Yeah. I hear you.
And there's something they never teach you in boot camp either is how to deal with that. You know, being in during 9/11, you know, people would offer to buy us food, our meals and things like that. And it was humbling, but it was uncomfortable at the same time because I never quite understood that.
Because it feels like a debt needs to be paid.
Yeah.
Like you owe somebody. But the way they look at it, and I understand this, the way they look at it is, you already paid the price by serving. So all they want to do is just bless us, I guess, and thank us. So a friend of mine said, whenever somebody says that, see ya. Just say thank you and keep on going.
You know, I didn't fully understand the numbers until later on. But, you know, of the population of the U.S., we're one of the only countries that doesn't require military service. Only 10% of the population try to get in the military. Out of that 10%, only 5% actually qualify to go to boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that 5% of the population, only 3% actually make it out of boot camp and into their specialized training camp. And out of that, only 1% actually qualifies to be a soldier of the American population. But when you're a kid and you're in there and you're learning these numbers, you know, most of your, while you're in, you're only surrounded by a buttload of people, you know, and you're hearing these numbers of thousands of troops being sent over here, thousands of troops being sent here. It's like the numbers don't make sense. Because all you hear is numbers in the thousands. Like, well, if it's such a small population, how is there thousands of us? Especially when you grew up in military families. Cause, you know, your dad, your grandpa, your uncles, your, you know, everybody was in.
Right. I agree.
But I truly believe that having that faith, especially in the military, especially in boot camp, makes it so much easier. Especially when you start reading the Bible at night because you have nothing else that you can read, nothing else you can do. You either read your military book or you read your Bible.
Right.
And you start hearing about all, you start actually understanding and reading the bad stories, the bad things that happen. And when shit hits the fan in boot camp, you know, perfect example is when I was going through boot camp, I ended up bashing my knee on the wall because you have, what is it like, was it the 8-foot wall, the 10-foot wall, and like the 13 or 15-foot wall you have to climb across to go through boot camp and actually graduate boot camp. The first wall, I ended up smashing my knee. And this was after I already screwed it up once. There was no way I was crawling that wall. Two of the guys, one straddled the wall, and the other one grabbed me and basically threw me up over the wall, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You are taught to work together. You know, all of boot camp is all about
working together, becoming
teamwork.
A team. Yes.
But it's also the most obnoxious thing in the world because you get that battle buddy.
Yep.
The best part of me graduating boot camp and going to specialized training was I could go to the bathroom by myself. Because in boot camp, you have that battle buddy that's assigned to you, and you do everything together.
Yep.
The time you are up to the time you go to bed, you are with that person. You are never, ever alone. If you have to pee, you know, they're with you. And that, you know, and now these kids, you know, when I was a drill instructor, that was the hardest thing was teaching these kids. You have to be together. You have to be a unit. You have to have that battle buddy. You have to be that. It was all about me persevering over these obstacles, doing it by myself. I could do this by myself. Well, yeah, technically, theoretically, yeah, you could, but that's not the point. When did we become such a society of self-indulged, self-centered people? We are no longer this community where we work together. We have to be together. It is all about me, 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 me. I can do this. I have to be independent. You know, being married in a relationship is bad because you're dependent on somebody else. Well, you work together as a team.
Marriages, that's what boot camp is. And that's what military life is.
Yeah.
Teamwork.
You know, that is the thing I miss the most about the military is being in that community and being in that group and being around people.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I understand.
You know, the civilian world is so isolated and so self-centered.
We are
society
of isolationists.
We are. And COVID
played. And we're not supposed to be.
Perfectly into that. You know, nobody wants to go to work anymore. They want to work from home. They want to stay by themselves, live in their own little world, do their own little thing. And it's sad because there's a big, bright world out there.
Yeah. And now you don't even have to go out of the house in order to cash your check. You have it direct deposited, so you don't have to leave your house.
Yep.
Or leave your TV. So, yeah. That's another story.
So we are out of time for today. I think that's a good topic for next week. Is teamwork and how to work as a team and how to take what you've done in the military and bring it to the outside world and be that voice. To be part of that community and help open that community up.
Yeah, I got a... I got some notes on that, too. So might have to send you those, too. But,
Sounds great.
Good. Great. So how's James doing?
How's what?
How's James doing?
He's doing good. He's going through a lot of trouble. He's getting knocked down. But he's doing better. You know, we talk at least every other day.
But starting to read 2 Timothy.
I will send him a text in a couple hours. Because I'm not going to send him a text at 9 a.m. So it's 7 in the morning there. I don't know if he's up or not yet.
Oh, if he was in the Marine Corps, he probably is. But, yeah, I'd wait.
Yeah. All right, I got to go. I got a call coming in. It's my kids at school. Thank you for joining
okay.
us. We'll see you back.
Okay, see ya.
Good morning. How are you?